Blog Talk Radio.
The wind blew some luck in my direction. I caught it in my hands today. I finally made a tricky French connection. Gave me your okay. I'll take you on a trip beside the ocean and drive the top of Chesapeake Bay. Ain't nothing like the sky to dose a potion. The moon will send you on your way. Too late. Feels right. Back and observe the constellations and watch the moon smiling bright. I'll play the radio on Southern stations, cause Southern bells are here at night. You say you came to Baltimore from Ole Miss, a class of 7-4 gold ring. The eastern moon looks ready for a wet kiss to make the tide rise again.
Tonight, so I will be doing that. My name is Gray Eyes Smith, and the show is brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets. And we have anthologies available on amazon.com filled with poetry from poets around the world, so feel free to check those out and help us support these shows. Thank you very much. And tonight's show is based on a contest that Wild Dove and myself ran, and it's called Moon Love Poems Written in 2021, and so that'll be the gist of tonight's show. It'll be a lot of moon-based poetry, and so I'm going to go to the studio real quick and check out who's here. Hello, area code 715. Is that you, Pam?
It is. Hello, Gray. How's it going?
Wow, it's going great. Thank you. Nice to have you.
Oh, good to be here. Looking for the poetry, yeah. I tell you, Lou she has a gift for picking out prompts, you know, like stuff that was just absolutely a beautiful quote. And I'm looking forward to what people put into the contest.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we're going to get to the contest here. And the first one is a SoundCloud, so I'm going to play this. This is by Jazz Karan. I'm going to post it to the group. There's that. And then the recording is... Here we go.
You were written in the stars. You are blossom. You do sing in this season. Because it's the rising sun, yes, in a sunlight. Your rulers quoting calls, giving up either from business. An ecstatic beast, I guess, out of the penny. You are the morning day, between 2 years, a catching boat, your operation came, so learning. Even the stars whistle to each other, and heaven moon signals were day and night horizon. With favor, with a finger, with a hood. Window came, feeling cozy, and built of order being around. With the iron fettered, with yellow butterflies, I have an endearment, and a love, and good in her wishes, fair in the wind. Thank you.
Well, that was a beautiful poem, well written. And, yeah, so, I mean, you are a blossom sneaking, speaking spring with lips fragrant, across which the setting sun rests in a slumber. The bluebird's courting calls, giving a breather from weariness, an ecstatic bee swaggers out of the peony. You know, such a beautiful scenery painted there. His words are magical, and it's definitely an enlightening and enlightening poem, full of love and cherishing life. Window panes feel cozy under dewdrops, odor filling the lungs. The garden fluttered with yellow butterflies. I blow dandelions with our love, enclosing 1,000 wishes, scatter the wind. You can see all that as he speaks it. So I thought it was a beautifully written poem. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this is absolutely a beautiful. I really appreciate Jazz Karan and his poetry. He has a wonderful way of weaving emotion in with imagery. I really like this all the way through, but that second stanza is particularly what grabs my attention. You are the mountain lake between two Milky Ways, a crackling bolt, your fluorescent skin so alluring, even the stars whisper to each other. The idea that somebody is both so strong and so alluring. And I like how he says that she's the lake and the boat, as if she is what holds the boat together and she is what sails across the lake. I like where he mentions bid farewell to suffering and grief with a hoot. It makes me think of how in some cultures, and I don't know about the culture he lives in, but how like birds are like owls are messengers of death. And I just think this is a really thoughtful rite that pays tribute to someone who seems to be a beautiful person, both on outward appearance and in their inner spirit. So excellent write and very well done.
Well, it's a fantastic comment. Thank you, Pam. Okay, I've got the next write up here, if you wouldn't mind, please, Pam.
I would be happy to. And this is Journeys, Journals, Scars by Blue Ridge 76. And it goes like this. The spotless moon with the breeze kindled thoughts of you. Then when we sank into a no more, when I seeked her wasn't enraptured. Black spots appeared on the white night's bright. The crater on the moon was visible on the wound, marked deep. Journeys, journals, speaking scars. Nature embraced me in my grief, and I smiled again. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And, this poem's filled with loss and hope, and emotion. You can feel it as you read through. The crater on the moon was visible as the wound, marked deep. Journey's Journal, Speaking Scars. You know, like, we all wear scars, and, you know, it's better to be proud of them than to embrace them than to not. And I thought that was expressed beautifully in that poem. What did you think, Dan?
Well, first of all, I really like how you brought up that, you know, it's better to embrace our scars as a reminder that, you know, they are something beautiful. I think that was an important part of the poem. So that's great that you brought that up. First of all, I thought Journey's Journals was definitely a bit of a tongue twister, but I liked it because it made for, you know, a fun phrasing. But, you know, the tone of this is very much to me about healing and how nature helps us heal. And this is beautiful all the way through, but I did like that stanza that you mentioned. You know, and I also like where he says, when I seeked or wasn't enraptured, black spots appeared on the white night's sprite. And I thought, you know, a sprite was kind of like, it reminded me of those like little fairies that make trouble. And so it's almost an idea that in that moment you're feeling troubled. You're feeling like, you know, trying to figure out where the light is. But yeah, the wonderful write on, you know, heartbreak, but healing from it. So very well done. Are you on mute?
No.
I am.
Oh.
Thank you, Pam. Oh, my goodness. Area code 703, who's calling, please?
Oh, you'll never guess. It's just some stranger.
Hey,
in the chat. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you, Thomas?
Oh, I'm quite nice. Actually, I'm doing well. It's the beginning of crazy season, and I'm beginning to recognize that I have to cook a pie tomorrow. My wife and I decided for one particular adventure, we're going to create a redneck charcuterie board, meaning, you know, instead of being fancy little tidbits to eat, we're going to have beef jerky and pimento cheese and, you know, Colt 45 for the drink, you know, in the cooler, you know.
Yeah.
Just so that, you know, nobody will feel that they have to act dignified in grabbing things off it, you know.
Right. That's fantastic.
But I've got to make, I've got to make the board, so I've got an old pallet out back that I'm going to break down and put the boards together and then run them through a planer and, you know, do all that good stuff.
That's awesome for a redneck charcuterie board. Fantastic.
But, you know,
okay, and
if you're figuring like, out, it all sucks up time.
Yeah,
and that's
where
I look at it. From now until about January 3rd, I have no time. I've also got to make a, what is it? It's a pumpkin praline pie along with hollandaise sauce for our Thanksgiving dinner at my brother's house.
Well, that sounds delicious. You're making me hungry. And I'd like to welcome Bobby to the
show. I'm a good cook when I put my mind to it, but, you know, it's holidays and away we go. Plus cooking for presents and anything else like that.
Delicious. Well, thanks for calling in. And I'd like to welcome Mary Code 703. Hello, Bobby.
Didn't you just do that?
Yeah.
Well, once you get one, you know it's the other.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're bookends.
Yeah. Hi, Bobby.
Hey, good evening.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You bet. And finally, last but not least, Do You Wild Dove. Welcome to the show.
Yay! Hey, everybody. Hi, guys. Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello. Oh, my gosh. I got so hungry just listening to you describe everything.
Yeah,
do you guys hear an echo?
No.
I did a bit when Thomas was talking there, but.
Okay, all right. Hi, guys. Happy to spend Monday with y'all. Thank you, Gray.
Appreciate you calling in. You bet. Okay, so I'm going to play Frank's SoundCloud here.
Okay.
Mi amor. I dip into the glow of your sapphire eyes, infused by the beauty of the color of crystal, radiating like precious gemstones of Arabia, drawn to a sultry spell of your exotic refulgence. I sip from the sea of your wildest passion, yearning to drench my body in your rising tide, while I taste the moisture of your luscious lips slowly, and I dive into the depth of the mysteries of your lust. I sprinkle bits of erotic spices to the cones, hoping to entice you with an aphrodisiac bite and make you desire me with such a naked hunger as you are aroused with the taste of my caramel flesh. Make me your seduction. Let me be the sensual dreams of a wet night, exuded with the drops of the dripping dew, for I light up the fire burning rapidly between your trembling thighs. Garments drop to the ground and our warm bodies glow like two luminous fireflies ignited by strong pheromones imbued with the sweet scent of the lavenders in jasmines. Be my virginal moon orbiting above the night of the Casbah. Eres mi luna con su brillo desnudo, mi nocturna seductora, despierto con tu conjuro. You are my moon with its naked glow, my nocturnal seductress. I awake with your spell.
Well, that was amazing, SoundCloud. You know, he has the passion and the voice to carry these sensual and seductive thoughts across, you know, bringing the Luna to a new perspective of existence. The personification of Luna was great. I thought it was just a beautiful job. What did you think, Pam?
I have to agree. Absolutely beautiful and passionate. I really like how he puts in, I sip from the sea of your wildest passion, yearning to drench up body in your rising tide. And then make me your seduction. Let me do the sensual dreams of a wet night, excited with the drops of the dripping dew, by light up the fire burning rapidly. I like how there's a juxtaposition between the burning fire and the flow of the water. So just a wonderful sensual rite, and very well done.
Fantastic comment, Pam. Thank you. And Thomas, what did you think?
Well, this is so frank, so beautifully frank. He captures so gently and with great sensuality how much one wants to be able to drench the person you love with passion, and in turn have that person turn and pursue you like you have pursued them. so that in the end it just becomes a fantasy with a hope and a dream for reality of being with the one you love and having all of this magic occur all at once. It does a wonderful job with that.
Beautiful comment. Thank you, Thomas. And Bobby, what did you think?
I'm always impressed with the visual imagery that Frank can conjure. And it's always very tactile. You've got textures and flavors and aromas in here. It says radiating like precious gemstones of Arabia, drawn to the sultry salt, your exotic refugees. Except the sea of your wildest passion. It's just his storytelling is word painting is what he does. An aphrodisiac bite make me desire you. Seriously, he takes his words and he paints such a beautiful, sensual picture with his writing.
Oh, absolutely. Well said. Thank you, Bobby. And Lou Waldo, what did you think?
Well, you know, the thing with this is it's just there's something about somebody that can titillate you with their words, you know, when they speak to you. And I really love this because there's nothing more sensual to get everything started than luscious lips that are slowly, you know, dipping into the depths of the lust. You know, like with Tom and Bobby, you know, like when you have that attraction towards somebody. And then I really loved it where he said, with an aphrodisiac bite, you know, that nibbling, you make me desire me with such a naked hunger as you are aroused with the taste of my caramel flesh. And, you know, it just everything is just so delicious and creamy in his poetry, and he just totally, with all the different scents and the visuals, just makes his poem just so beautiful.
Absolutely, well said. Thank you, Leah. And okay, Thomas, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay, be happy to. Is that The Kindred Strangers by Finally?
Yes.
Okay, Kindred Strangers by Finally. There is a yearning in some souls as determined, strong, and true as the ache of the moon for the sea, forever pulling the briny blue from the comfort of her shore. Likewise, longing. Seeks she to reach under cover of nonchalance, knowing not the compelling source whose hand urges her response, nor path of her aimless chore. That orb of night, he searches, blind, but for his own reflection that dances off so far away, no acceptance or rejection, just the lore beyond his grasp. Moonbeams like diamonds shimmer, glimmer over her restless skin. She feels him not in the turning, just the tugging from within, where she drowns without a gasp. So much the same for some of us, the knowing that eats inside. We seek what seems to be missing, or from it we attempt to hide, but the hunger won't let go. The sea, she never sleeps at night. Restless heart and waves do break, the moon blind to all but quest, nameless desire we none can shake. Not sea, not moon, nor my soul. End poem.
Beautiful read, Thomas. And
thank you.
You know, this is such a touching poem. You can feel the tug between the ocean and the moon in this right, and the attraction that, you know, we all have for others, our moons that bestow us and keep us pulling in that direction. I thought it was wonderfully written and thoughtful, right? Excellent job. What did you think, Pam?
I really like this. I like the title, Kindred Strangers. It makes me think of that saying that a stranger is simply a friend waiting to be discovered. This is beautiful all the way through, but I like that third stanza where she mentions that orb of night he searches blind, but for his own reflection it dances off so far away, no acceptance or rejection. There's a kind of a sense of emptiness there. And then I really also like the stanza where in the last couple lines it said, she feels him not in the churning, just the tugging from within where she drowns without a gasp. And to me that really speaks about how the moon and the phases of the moon affects the movement and the depth of the water, how, you know, the sea, the ocean, and the moon are connected. So it just really is a wonderful rite on connection and discovery of love. So excellent rite and very well done.
That was a great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what did you think?
Beautifully written. Very classical in its flavor. It's the way it is, way it describes the moon and the sea and the tidal influences is almost like a ballet. I was looking for forever pulling the briny blue from the earth, and there's a lot of movement. She feels him not in the churning, just the tugging from within where she drowns without a gasp. And it has a very unusual description of the influences of the moon on the sea. But I love the way it's done. It's written in a way I've never seen before. But I really like it. It takes your thinking in a different direction. No protagonist or antagonist. There's just the reaction between the two entities.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Bobby. And Louie, what did you think?
Well, that was a great read, and this is a fantastic poem. What I liked about this, and, you know, for me it was a little bit different than what other people were looking at. You know, just like the moon and the sea are coupled and drawn to each other, you know, sometimes we're attracted to that same type of person. And for me, I would love to drown in somebody's love, in somebody's beauty, you know, to have the diamonds around make me feel as if I'm shimmering and glowing in the moonlight by the way that they make me feel personally. I thought this was a wonderful poem.
Well said. Thank you, Lee. And I'd like to welcome caller 667 to the show. Hello, caller 667. Who's calling, please?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Is that Martha?
This is Martha. Hi.
Hi, Martha.
Martha. Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Good to hear you.
Glad to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Are you able to hang out for a while, or do you need to read and run?
I can stay for a while.
Okay, great. Did you get to hear the last poem?
No, I didn't catch much of it.
Okay, thank you. And Thomas, what did you think of the poem?
Well, I thought she made beautiful use of an extended metaphor and dealt with it in a, like Bobby said, in a very unique way, playing with the way in which the things that go on are almost beyond your control and beyond your and beyond anything more than your senses, so that you're caught in the gravity and the pull and the association and the magic of the moment. And I thought she did a really, really beautiful job in the way she pulled it together. And in the last two, two before the last stanza, she does a great job of making it a little more personal, a little bit more about human beings, before she takes that last stanza and just summarizes it so nicely. that it's not that, you know, that this is something that is beyond us and greater than us, but something that we all willingly fall to. I just thought it was well done, just very, very well done.
Thank you, Thomas. Okay, Bobby, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
On mute.
There you is.
More effective when you take it off.
Sure does.
Okay, Moon Maiden. I know a couple of us in the audience here are old enough to remember that Moon Maiden was also a character in Dick Tracy.
Yes.
But I digress. Moon Maiden by T3898. My soul and I, who once stood worlds apart, shall merge together in eternal bliss. Unwrap me safe within your beating heart, while poets swoon and lovers share a kiss. White horses crash upon an empty shore. I'm lost inside her coverture of love. With radiance so elegant and pure, my silken mistress shimmers high above. End poem.
Wonderful read, Bobby. And, you know, I found this is a deeply personal and profound poem of love for the moon. Just brilliant expression of that connection that we all have for that beloved moon. What did you think, Pam?
I really like this. I thought it had a wonderful rhyme and flow. I really appreciate when somebody can tell a story in just a few lines. And this has wonderful personification and imagery. I like it all the way through because it's difficult to separate in one part. But what stands out to me the most is where it says, white horses crash upon an empty shore. That very much makes me think of the book and movie, The Last Unicorn, which just kind of gives it such a magical feel for me. So excellent write and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Thomas, what did you think?
It's funny how we can hear different things. I mean, I get white horses crash upon an empty shore, and I just see the waves, the combers coming in the moonlight, and the white froth being so richly brought out against the blackness of the sea. And I really like the way he opens up with, my soul and I, who once stood of worlds apart, shall merge together in eternal bliss. And then he opens it up so that you see his moon maiden and how he has become totally one with her. You know, I'm lost inside her coverture of love with radiance so elegant and pure. And yet at the same time, he holds her in great esteem because he finishes, my silken mistress shimmers high above. Beautiful. In a short little piece of brevity, he does a really beautiful laud to the one that he cares for deeply. I was quite impressed.
Well said. Thank you, Thomas. And Lee, what did you think?
You know, this is an enrapturing, beautiful brevity. You could literally, this could be a woman. This could also be the moon. Because, you know, we all feel different things with the way that we've been raised and our culture and everything, and how we are attracted and traditions with the moon. And I just found this just it was like being draped in lovely silk. This was just gorgeous.
Well said. Thank you, Lou. And Martha, what did you think?
I thought it was really nice. I really enjoyed it. You could almost feel the waves and see the ocean in the poem.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Thank you, Martha. And Bobby, what did you think of the poem that you read?
As Pam said, it's a real gift when someone can tell such a compact story, so few words. And I also, we just stopped sharing brain cells. I also had the vision of The Last Unicorn because it the unicorns were forced into the sea, and they kept trying to come on shore, and the Red Bull kept driving them back into the sea. So I was white horses crashed upon an empty shore, but also a beautiful metaphor for the waves, just very lovely. And I'm lost inside the curvature of love, the cover of love. The language is very classic. The feel of it is very lyrical. I think it's a lovely piece. I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Bobby. Great comment. And Louie, what did you think? Oh, no, sorry.
Are you ready?
You're up next.
Yes, I did.
You're up next.
No double dipping.
So, am I reading next?
Louie is.
Okay.
The Red
Scarf by Omega AM.
The purple sky morning and at dusk. These storms which sweep me up in the air. These dreams are my cells to protect me from the squalls of life. Now I fly solo, my faith serene. Winds which blow and tear now departed. Storms of my life, a light through stained glass prayers answered in cups of tears. With vastness.
The Virginia.
You had it right. The Virginia.
So, waking to feel the night stretching away, the red rose growing tired, beauty fades within the morning that's finished. Now the sky appears dressed for the day as the corn is waving and the warbling birds bathe in the old fish tank. As the winds start to speak, drowning my cicade, where the season with no particular reason pushes love on any roadside curb, wishing I was a rain catcher, then I could shelter from any old storm.
That was a beautiful read, Louie. And
mm-hmm.
I like it. You know, I like the feel of it. The purple sky in the morning at dusk, these storms which sweep me up in the air, these dreams are my sails to protect me from the squalls of life. Now I fly solo, my faith serene, wind which blow and tear now departed. Just a beautiful expression of living through the storm and sailing on and flying away through the other side. And I thought it was beautifully written. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I have to agree. Before I comment on the poem, I'm hearing a lot of feedback. So just a friendly reminder, I know most people know this, but just in case, don't have the show on your radio or device, not radio, but your device at the same time you're on the phone. And if it's not your turn to speak, make sure to be kind enough to mute yourself. And I really appreciate you all. Thank you. I thought this had wonderful use of imagery. I really like that he starts with the purple sky morning and at dusk, these storms which sweep me up in the air. These dreams are my sails to protect me from the squalls of life. I like how this is about surviving through those storms of life and finding those wings that you can sail on. As the winds start to speak, drowning my facade, where the season with no particular reason pushes love on any roadside curb. That is really a great help with the season with no particular reason. There's that inner rhyme there in that line. And I like how he personifies the wind and has it start to speak. It's almost like at that moment there's this kind of awakening, of finding wisdom by taking time to listen. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That was a great comment. And Thomas, what did you think?
Well, I really like the colors and the imagery that he uses to bring the colors to light. And I really love that second verse, storms of my life, a light through stained glass prayers answered in a cup of tears. That's a very spiritual statement that contains both the power of hope and at the same time, the honesty of how strong the moment is in terms of its pain. And bringing this all to us as if it's almost a way of greeting a wild and beautiful morning in the Midwest, because that purple sky morning at dusk, that's immediately what I relate to is the dawns, that dawns I've seen out in the Midwest over the cornfield. Yeah, I just got that feeling from this poem, and it's a really vibrant, earthy metaphor that somehow pulls one back to the land and back to a sense of all the strengths we gain from what is around us and what keeps us anchored to this reality. A very, very beautiful, strong piece. Quite impressive.
Well said. Thank you, Thomas. I appreciate that. And Bobby, what did you think?
I have to agree with Thomas. The colors, in looking at the colors, are very striking. Red rose growing tired. The center of it really captures me. Storms of my life alight through stained glass prayers answered in a cup of tears. This vastness, the vertiginous awakening, awareness, waking to feel the nights stretching away. So for some reason, the descriptions just captured me, the visual imagery and the storytelling in it. I really, really found it quite captivating.
Well said. Thank you, Bobby. And Louie, what did you think?
You know, I really love listening to everybody's comments. You know, for me, you know, the only time you can find peace with the issues that we have in life is in nature, is in, you know, to finally, you know, that we cannot fall asleep because something is bothering you so much. And then finally, when you drift off to sleep, you know, that release from whatever is heavy on our soul, we can now fly. And, you know, I just could see myself crying myself to sleep in these cup of tears. And eventually, the night stretches away and you find a release to allow the beauty of your life. Because when we're under so many squalls, it's hard to see the beauty of life. And she found a way to express herself in nature. This is just gorgeous.
Well said. Thank you, Lydia. And Martha, what did you think?
Unmute.
Hello. Hello, Martha.
I thought it had lovely word pictures, and you could almost see it as they were describing it. Thought it was really a pretty poem.
Well said. Thank you, Martha. Appreciate that. Okay, you're up next, Martha, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay.
Like the moon loves the night. Love me like the moon loves the night. Wrap me in your arms and hold me tight. Fill me with the light of your love. Be all that I am dreaming of. Darling, kiss my lips and hold me tight. And love me like the moon loves the night. Put your stars in my eyes. Promise me I'll never hear goodbyes. There is one thing I want for sure. I won't be looking anymore. Just hold me in your arms tonight and love me like the moon loves the night. So darling, come kiss me sweet. Only you make my world complete. So kiss me, baby, hold me tight. And love me like the moon loves the night. There is one thing I want for sure. I won't be
beautiful job. Excellent singing. I really like the theme of the poem, you know, where you're, you know, love me like the moon loves the night. You know, who could ask for anything more than that? Just a beautiful poem and well sang. Thank you, Martha. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, I thought this was absolutely wonderful. I was glad Martha could call in. There's a real note of tenderness in this. So, darling, come kiss me sweet, only you make my world complete. So kiss me, baby, hold me tight, and love me like the moon loves the night. Wonderful rhyme and flow. And I like how there's this just this wanting within the lines. So beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Thomas, what did you think?
Well, I enjoyed the way she used the phrase, like the moon loves the night, starting it with at the beginning and the very first verse, and then moving it to the second line, letting it be the finish to the chorus, because it changes and grows in meaning and begins by the second use of the chorus, it begins to really resonate in a way that makes everything about the night, about the moon, about the person you hold dear, all that gets held inside that line, and by the last verse, it rings so that you're left sort of with that phrase, "Love me like the moon loves the night," just sort of resonating in your brain. That's really well done, very very well done.
That was a great comment. Thank you, Thomas. And Bobby, what did you think?
I always enjoy Martha's verse because her verse is so approachable. The language is very straightforward, and I especially enjoy the chorus. There's one thing I want for sure, and I won't be looking anymore. Just hold me in your arms tight and love me like the moon loves the night. A beautiful sentiment, and like Pam said, a lot of a very sweet tenderness in this. Her verse, sort of like Salwa's writing, is very very tender, very human, very emotional, very caring.
Well said. Thank you, Bobby. And Louie, what did you think?
You know, I love Martha. I love her poetry. I love her music lyrics. I love her romanticism, and I also love her pain. And my favorite stanza was, "Darling, kiss me. I love my."
Lou, you need to check your mouthpiece.
You can't hear me?
No, barely. There you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I was just saying that I love Martha's poetry. I love her song lyrics, how her romance and her heart just spills into her poetry. And my favorite stanza was where she wrote, "Darling, kiss my lips and hold me tight and love me like the moon loves the light. Put your stars in my eyes. Promise me I'll never hear goodbyes." And that is just something that, you know, at least I know I wish, and, you know, so many of us wish to. I mean, when you're in love with somebody, that you can just see their eyes sparkle, and you want to stay with them forever. You do, if it's a good relationship. Beautiful poem, Martha. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Liu. And Martha, would you like to say anything about your poem?
Not really. I said it all in the poem.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
But it's not a poem,
okay.
It's a song.
Yeah. Okay, we've got another caller here. Hi, to the new caller. Who's calling, please?
Hello, my name's Rooster Cogburn, and I'm calling from Northern Ireland.
Hello.
Hey, Rooster!
Hey, Rooster.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Late Night Poets.
Love that accent.
Thank you very much. Yours isn't too bad either.
I was going to
ask you, I know you're calling long distance. Do you need to read and run, or can you hang out for a bit?
No, I'm sorry. I'll have to read and run. The thing is, I'm down at the chaos here, and I'm popping pound coins into the phone to keep stay on the line. Do you have dollar coins?
We have which?
Yeah.
Well, the equivalent of dollar coins to stay on the line. So I'll probably have to read my poem and hang up again. Sorry about that.
Did you want to get his poem, sir?
Yes, can I put it on the board?
Yes,
yeah,
sure.
He's going to get it.
Can you see it all there?
Yes, it is. It's up.
Okay,
yes,
first of all, can you all hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yes, we can hear you.
Good.
That's fantastic.
Ah, that's excellent. Okay, then. Kind of keeping in theme, it's a wee bit of a, usually I'm more jocular in my poetry, but this is a sort of a bittersweet poem, but it's in keeping with theme of the moon and love. And if you're all sitting comfortably, I'll begin.
Okay.
It's called Love's Bittersweet Serenade. So here we go. It was many and many a year ago, in a land of clover green, 'twas here love heaven sent, I fell for a sweet Colleen. And she loved me with virtue true, together as one hand in hand. Shady grove, neath moonlight haze, our favour the nighter found. Nay prince nor pauper in stealth guise, try as they may entice her. My sweet Colleen eyes only for me, chide status, bronze or silver. Young were we, two hearts free, elope our plan to marry. The village elders of class and creed forbade courtship. We were scorned to tarry. O'er froth and foam our ship to know held steady course, bow unbroken, until it docked, harbour ashore, a blacksmith witnessed, a ring, the wedding token. Days, score plus 10, one month of bliss, the bluest sky or clearest night together, sun, moon, and stars as one, we made music to our heart's delight. The voyage homeward, our destination plan, my love, my sweet Colleen, a fever. Though we boarded, the physician anxious, dark clouds gathered, omens cleaver. My love, dearest one, mermaid's lament, there was no pastor, mourning cortege, buried at sea. On Emerald Isle, crestfallen, I walk alone. To know love's consummate and lose woe unto me. End poem. And just in brackets, a Colleen is a young girl. It's an Irish word for a young girl or young woman.
That's my mom's name, actually. Spelled exactly the same. But no, that was a wonderful read and a fantastic storyline, you know, heart-wrenching but beautiful at the same time. Wonderful job. What did you think, Tim?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's good that Brewster could call in and read it himself. I really like the rhyme and flow in this and how it tells a story not only of love but of epic adventure and loss. I like o'er froth and foam our ship to know, held steady course, bow unbroken until it docked, harbor ashore, blacksmith a witness, a ring, wedding token. And I like how there's, it's about that kind of undying devotion, no matter who or what else distracts you. So just a wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you, Deb. And Thomas, what did you think? Hello, Thomas. I guess we've lost Thomas.
Probably making beef jerky.
Di was on mute.
Yeah.
Yes, I pulled a little off.
There he is.
Yes. You know, I'll never be able to do it as consistently as Laurent, but I can do it well. I was just enjoying, like I was saying, just enjoying how well the word Colleen sounds with the accent that Rooster gives it. It sings in a whole new way. I really love the poem. I mean, I love the tale well told. I love how that love can rise above the restraints of village elders, sail across the seas, and even when the fates work totally against it, and one falls to illness, love still holds on strong and touches deep both everyone who hears the poem as well as the person who is in it. Very, very beautifully done. I deeply enjoyed this, Rooster.
Thank you, Thomas. And Bobby.
Well, I'm always charmed by an Irish accent because my father used to do. he loved it. He loved. We love listening to Irish music. So it hits my heartstrings. I really enjoy the storytelling in this and the fact that it has your regional flavor, the vernacular that you use. Neither prince nor pauper in stealth guise, try as they may entice her. Lean eyes for only me, chide status bronze or silver. It has a wonderful regional flavor to it, and the storytelling, like you said, is a little bit forlorn, but still a beautiful, and if an Irishman can't tell a sad tale and tell it beautifully, then no one can.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Lou. I mean, thank you, Bobby. Lou, what's your comment?
You know, I love hearing Rooster read his poetry. I love his storytelling. He goes in from the details of this forlorn love that was never able to be a couple, and that, you know, I do believe you can love somebody forever, even when they're no longer with us. Says, you know, and just like what Bobby said, you know, my grandfather is also half Irish, you know, just the storytelling and the beauty of the language, and I just enjoyed this so much, Rooster. Thank you so much for calling.
Great comment. Thank you, Louie. And Martha, what did you think?
I thought it was wonderful. It reminded me of when I was a young girl and my mom used to read me poetry like that, and I'd sat burnt cider and cry because it was so sad. But I still loved it. I loved the fact that it told a story. That's my favorite kind of poem. It's the kind that tells a story.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Martha. And I'd like to welcome Sawa to the show.
Hello,
everyone.
Hi, Sawa.
Hi.
Hello,
preciosa. Hi. Hi, everyone. I love. Can I comment quickly on the poem, please? I heard it.
Sure, please. Thank you.
Yeah. Rooster had a gift for storytelling. He really is just natural, and his reading captivating. But I love how he took us when he said voyage. It's like almost they're not together, and he made this voyage to meet with his bride, but fever, unfortunately, separated them. It's very, it's really sad, and this is, like, I'm sure it's a realistic story, even though you're not telling probably just the story, but I'm sure these things happen in the past. Very moving and very touching, and feel like a pure love, as you said, can happen, and they can, even if separated by death, you still can have love forever. Really beautifully done. Very
absolutely
moving.
Thank you.
Okay.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sawa. And so I'm going to post the next link here. And this is, so we're popping into the open poetry to get these read. And this is by Daniel Deschino. And it's called Scared. I almost died a few times during my day. Today I live. I'm not sure of this new angel's luck, karma, fate. I don't know why or the reason. I only know that what I perceive, I only perceive what surrounds me. I'm only surrounded by what there is, and what there is, I would have missed so terribly. End poem. But no, this was a fascinating poem, you know, filled with, you know, the thought of losing life and the ability to live it and the thankfulness therein. You know, it's a beautiful expression of that. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I have to agree. This definitely is a beautiful expression of love. I like that he wrote a brevity. Daniel writes oftentimes longer poems, and as I always say, it's good to see people that kind of get out of their box. And he's so talented, and he's so supportive of the shows with his rights. I really appreciate that. I really like this all the way through, but I particularly the ending stands with, I only know what I perceive. I only perceive what surrounds me. I'm only surrounded by what there is, and what there is I would have missed so terribly. I like that idea of how we learn from and what we are and what we become is shaped by what we observe around us. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Thomas, what did you think?
There I am, muted. I can deeply relate to this, having come too close to death more than once. And he's right. It is that second verse. I'm not sure the name, angels, luck, karma, fate. I don't know why or the reason. But when you survive, when you live, you realize that you have to live every day. Today I live, as he says. Because otherwise, it could disappear before you know it. And I thought, for in a piece of brevity, and maybe the only way to really catch it effectively, he wrote a very powerful piece. Liked it very much.
Great comment. Thank you, Thomas. And Bobby, what did you think?
Very existential piece. Talking about his existence and what he would be missing if he were not here, which, strangely enough, I find myself slipping into that from time to time also, or the things that my family, now that they're gone, missing, and what they would think of it. It's an intriguing thought, and I really like the way on this brevity. I only know what I perceive. I'm only surrounded by what there is, and if what there is, I would have missed. So a real grasp of your own existence.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. Thank you, Bobby. And Louie, what did you think?
You know, this was just very something I could understand. You know, sometimes you wonder, you know, when you go back and you look, you know, we have a saying that when we survive something, we say gracias a Dios, thanks to God. You know, whether you believe in God or whether it's karma or whether it's your spirit animal. And sometimes you do. When you look back at your life and you wonder why I didn't die back then, and you're still surviving and you're still moving. And I do believe this is looking back at your life and having a deeper appreciation for living and everything that surrounds you. You know, just hearing the birds every morning is something I look forward to.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you. Beautiful comment, Louie. And Martha, what did you think?
Martha dropped. She had to go.
Oh, okay.
Who's called a 512?
I'm sorry?
It says that there's a call of 512.
That's Frank, normally. Let me see.
Yeah, no, it's me. It's me.
There it is.
Okay.
Hi, Frank.
Hi,
Frank.
Hello, my friend.
Thank you for calling in. Did you get a chance to hear the poem?
No, but I did read the poem. And I have to say that I really did enjoy this piece here. You know, the whole notion, which you, I heard the comments that were being said, the whole notion of death is one that frightens us. You know, the whole notion of karma is entirely a different thing. If you look at it in the aspect of what karma means, you know, it doesn't just, it's a sense of rebirth as well. You know, so it looks through another, a sense of enlightenment. It looks through the eyes, the lens of something else beyond just the simplicity of death. And I like the whole notion here, what he brings with this, you know, where he says, I almost died a few times during my life, today I live. You know, it is a sense of rebirth, renewal, you know, and it's only a brevity, but there's so much said in this piece here that it's a deep philosophical piece, and I know that he writes this type of pieces, and I have to say I very much appreciate it. Did a great job.
Well said. Thank you, Frank. Appreciate that. And Sawa, what did you think?
Oh, I love this poem, too, because I also believe that he says angels. I really believe that God would surround us with guardian angels to protect us or give us another chance. I experienced this myself, and you can feel how much he appreciates this second chance and surviving and want to enjoy every moment of it. Really beautiful. And the same lines that like everyone got their attention perceiving is just beautifully said. Short, but very deep.
Well said. Thank you. Okay, so I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please, Pam. I'll repost it.
I'd be happy to. This is I Feel You by Pam H. And it goes like this. I feel you inside my head. I feel my emotions rise. I feel the magnetic pole tugging my center through rhythmic flowing breaths. I can't sleep. I toss. I turn. I know the night won't last. I kick off my slippers before touching grateful soles of feet to dewy moon glistening grass. The stars have hidden away, outshined by the luminous bath. I place my crystal beams and stones within my dirt-filled plants. Hold in my moldavite stone upwards, rotating it clockwise under the waxing waning moon. Swaying back and forth, I gently begin to dance. I no longer feel the earth beneath my feet, the luna becoming closer and closer with each blinding glance. The silence is deafening. I can't stop hearing weird pulsations and such communicating with a being which I think is not of this earth so much. Greens, golds, and aquamarine hues, orbs of shiny translucent eyes, lifting my body, mind, and spirit up into the heavens, higher and higher, closer to the moon. I wake back up in my bed that night, feeling loved, nurtured, and serene, unsure if it really happened, or if it was simply just a dream. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And, you know, this is a touching poem on the subject of transcendence and, you know, elevated mindset, taking you away to the heavens, lifting you higher and higher, closer to the moon. I thought it was just a beautiful expression of transcendence. And what did you think, Thomas?
Well, I was sort of enchanted by this from the first verse. I love the I feel you inside my head. I feel my emotions rise. I feel the magnetic pull tugging my center through rhythmic flowing breaths. I mean, it just is a wonderful way to start. This sense of someone so richly filling you up inside that they sort of become your whole reason for living. And then she deepens it with the discussions of the moon, the stars, and the way all of them remind her of how much she really feels this love. I just thought it was, you know, very striking and delightful. And there was a really strong lyrical feel in all this piece. in a way that made it feel like it was a heart song, which I thought was really beautiful, really well done.
Thank you, Thomas. That was a great comment. And Bobby, what did you think?
It's a beautiful piece. It has a very mystical quality, almost in its transcendence, almost spiritual. And you can feel the emerging of the soul and the spirit and the changing and the lifting up, the way it's described, lifting my body, mind, and spirit up into the heavens, higher and higher, closer to the moon. It's a very ethereal piece, and I really enjoyed the language that was used in it, the wordplay.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Louie, what did you think?
You know, I really love the way Pam read this and the poem that Pam A. also wrote, because this is a special stone. It's supposed to vibrate and allow us to transcend, and to these energies, they allow you to heal, and they have spiritual frequencies when you hold the stone in your hand. So I could literally see Pam out in the grass under the moon holding the stone, transcending into this spiritual form of the vibrations with the universe. It was gorgeous. I love the poem.
Wonderful comment, Louie. Thank you. And Sawa, what did you think?
Excuse me, I was on mute. Really an exquisite piece. I love how she captured the effect of nature and silence on her soul, and how she became part of the universe, getting so close to the moon. I love nature, so this is really speaks to me, moved me deeply. Like Louie said, I felt so serene and peaceful feeling with this poem at the end. Just I love it, really beautiful. And beautiful read, Pam, too.
Thank you, Sawa. And Frank, what did you think?
I'm going to agree with what everyone has said. I really like the transience in this poem here. You know, from the very beginning, she puts herself in the eye. You know, I feel you inside. I feel my emotions, the magnetic pull. This whole poem really, you know, and it has just a powerful embodiment of what is the effects of what the moon, what nature brings. I agree with what Lou said as well. The stones, it has a genuine effect, you know. In every element of this poem, it has, you know, encompassing nature, really makes it even more beautiful. And you think that the thing that connects us to nature is our emotions, really. And when we allow ourselves to connect with nature, you know, emotions, thoughts, and so be it, then you really find the beauty of what is an ordinary tree, perhaps an ordinary star, you know, to others. You really, really appreciate all of these things when you can connect with nature. So I thought it was a fantastic, fantastic write.
Great comment. Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
Okay, Thomas, you're up.
Okay, thank you. This is Tumbling into Morpheus's Bar. I traced her face above my head before I let sleep steal me back to dreams. Tomorrow I would look out the window, hear the birds waking up the sun. I would listen for the breeze that carried your kisses home. Love has no dew point. All the forces of Darwinian imperative give no explanation equal to how I feel. No system of hormones could maintain my dedication. Alone, I trace your face. I have never forgotten a detail. End poem.
Well, that was a beautiful read and an excellent write. You know, it's reflective and introspective. sharing this journey of life with somebody and remembering every detail of their face. Just a beautiful, right, Thomas?
Thank you.
You bet. And Cam?
Yeah, I thought this was a beautiful and emotive, right? I like how it's about remembering somebody. And it's a wonderful rite all the way through. But I particularly like the single line, love has no due point. There's not a point at which, you know, love starts to melt away or you know, it's always there. And I also like all the forces of the stanza after that was searching, all the forces of Darwinian imperative could know what go. Give no explanation equal to how I feel. It's that whole idea to me that, you know, science has its place and its purpose, but it cannot always explain everything. It cannot always explain the emotions which continue even after a person's life fades away. So just a beautiful write and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what did you think?
I think Pam said exactly what I was going to say. So we're sharing brain cells again. I also like the references, the scientific references in here are an interesting counterpoint to the emotion. And as Pam said, You can invoke science, which is empirical, but you cannot levy empirical metrics on emotions and love. And the way Thomas has written this is just, I really enjoy the delicate juxtaposition. And he brings it together, like Pam said, in the line, love has no dew point. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
I really, and the Darwinian imperative, I really like the way it was science in this. Alone, I trace her face. I've never forgotten a detail. And that simple, simple closing says so much. It's very beautifully written.
Well said. Thank you, Bobby. And Louis, what did you think?
You know, this is, you know, I love everybody's comments about his poem. Tom, you know, this is just so absolutely beautiful. You know, logically, when we can't see anything, you know, there's nobody in front of us. But those memories that are embedded in our mind and in our fingertips, the sensual feel of the person that we love, where you said it right here, I traced her face above my head before I let sleep steal me back to my dreams. You never forget. It's just like the body remembers, the memory remembers. We remember even though that person may not be there anymore. The feel of their skin and their touches is just absolutely beautiful, Tom.
Thank you.
Well said. Thank you, baby. And Salwa, what did you think?
Goodness, well, I'm going to say after what Lou said, this is so beautiful. Okay. It's really beautiful and romantic. Remembering this intimate moment and showing the power of love, that you feel like you're lifted and leave you dreamy. That's what I felt like. The next day you're happy and you see hear the bird and all the effects of love on you. Really very passionate and tender. Like, I agree with everyone, so beautiful.
Wonderful, wonderful comment. Thank you, Sawa. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, Thomas, my friend, you really brought a Morpheus there to a romantic feeling. I really thought this poem was very exquisite. It was a very beautiful piece here. I mean, the lines there of tracing her face, you know, really is beautiful because it's a reminiscent feeling there. It's a remembrance of a person who you adore, who you loved, And I like the elements of this piece here with the elements of nature. You bring in the birds, you bring in the breeze, and you add in some science there with Darwin. But I think this whole poem really, to me, was really personified in that last stanza there. Alone I trace her face, I have never forgotten a detail. That, my friend, is called love. When you can remember everything about that person, you know, and to that regard, to me, that is love.
Oh, thank you very much.
You will.
Absolutely. And thank you for joining us tonight, right? I mean, Thomas, you have a great night.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, because I'm
going to
be late.
Good night.
Good night. Y'all have a wonderful evening.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Okay, Sal, well, I've got your poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Oh, thank you. And thank you, Bobby. I just have to get off to work tomorrow earlier. I'm really sorry. I appreciate it. Thank you. The moon is crying alone. La lune pleure seule. First, before I don't want to be rude, do you want me to read just the English? We have time for both, or just I'd like to ask for...
Yeah, go ahead and read them. You can go ahead and read them
okay.
both.
Okay. I'm going to start with the French and do the English. La lune pleure seule dans une nuit sans lendemain. Son esprit chasse l'ombre de son sommeil au fond des horizons. Hélas, son cœur inexpliqué se palpite sur une branche penchée de rose, soupirant un doux murmure trempé de tendresse pour tes yeux. Penses-tu à elle, si elle en survivra à tes douleurs sous l'océan? Tueras-tu son âme de lumière? Tueras-tu à ses frissons? Sentiras-tu la longueur de son amour haletant sous la laine d'une aube nouvelle? À l'heure où les fleurs s'ouvrent, ton cœur scintillera-t-il dans son âme? The moon is crying alone, the night with no tomorrow. My mind chased the shadow of her sleep at the bottom of the horizon. Hélas, her unexplained heartbeat on a leaning branch of roses, sighing a soft whisper, soft and tenderness for your eyes. Do you think of her? If she buries your pain under the ocean, will you clothe her soul with light? Will you bow to her chill? Will you feel the languor of her panting love under the breath of a new dawn when the flowers open? And will your heart sparkle in her soul in the form?
Beautiful job. You know, I really love your poem. You know, it's just chock a block with just love and dedication for the moon. And the moon crying alone in a night with no tomorrow. And her mind chases the shadows of her sleep at the bottom of a horizon. Just beautiful imagery. A fantastic poem. What did you think, Pam?
Thank you.
Yeah, this is just absolutely beautiful and a wonderful read, Sawa. I like how this poem really speaks about how Mother Nature, the eye, the watching of the moon, cares about the earth and what is going on. But it also represents, it feels like it represents the loneliness of a woman who needs someone to feel her, to understand her. And this is beautifully written all the way through and very well done.
Oh, thank you so much, Ben.
Thank you, Pam. Lou, what did you think?
Well, I just thought this was absolutely beautiful. And it's painful because sometimes we may feel this lonely, that the moon is crying alone just like we are. And, you know, we look to her for an answer, but, you know, sometimes we can't find it. But, you know, it's the night does whisper its own love songs. And I think we've forgotten how to listen to her and, you know, that she will answer us so that we don't drown in our sorrow. Beautiful, Sawa.
Oh, thank you so much. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Liu. And Frank, what did you think?
Yeah, so I was about to write a comment. This poem here, is really, I agree with what's been said, in particular what Lou said. You know, there's elements about, you know, as well, the moon that brings its own beauty, just like the sun, the stars, you know, the you know, the planets, you know, things we see out there in the universe. They bring us, you know, these mysteries, you know, that we try to solve at times. Yet at the same time, they bring simplicity to us as well. They bring us comfort. They bring us this sense of understanding, you know. And when you can, this poem here, although it's plaintive, it's a very mournful piece. It does make you think about how much we sometimes don't value enough the things that are around us, the elements, you know, that give us, you know, the sun, the moon, the stars, and that we take it for granted. We see them there, but we don't really think about just how beautiful they are. And, you know, it almost goes unseen at times. We're so much in our little world there that we don't realize that there's so much beauty in this life. We just have to learn to appreciate it. And the moon is one of those qualities that I think of the earth. I mean, the universe that gives us this beauty, you know, to admire, you know, to be bestowed with the moonlight is the most beautiful thing. Now, though it can be, and it does seem in this poem that it's crying, it's offering us its beauty. And that's what I always appreciate about the moon.
Well, thank you so much, Frank.
You're welcome.
Beautiful comment. Thank you, please. Okay, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please, Frank.
Oh, hold on. Bear with me. I was trying to write a comment there for Sarah. Just let me get there. Just is it the one by, trying to figure out which one is it? It's one by Jack Pompovic?
Yes.
All right. I'll write you the comment afterwards, Sarah. This is called He, and it goes like this. My wife and I, snow monkeys in winter pools, geothermally heated from the core. Warmth relaxes the body like vapor of the nose. Hot tub of palestrine, snug like hot cross buns. Jeweled crowns on heads. We romp in bed cuddly and warm as roos and mothers pouch. After we sit upon the couch, head on shoulders, securely older. Real wealth is measured, not in gold, but D2US. That's heal. That's heal the toe. Sorry. This is our in the pool. My eyes. This is our.
Thank you, Frank. That was a wonderful read. This is a great poem on, you know, hot tubs and the benefits they bring. You know, real wealth is measured not in gold, but BTUs that heat the toll. Just a wonderful poem. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I absolutely enjoyed this. This was definitely smile-inducing from the very first line where he says, my wife and I snow monkeys in winter pools. You can just see those monkeys that live in the snowy mountains where they find the hot springs and sit in them relaxing. I also like, it's so delightful, we romp in bed cuddly and warm as roos in mother's pouch. This is just so much fun. Earlier today, my daughter was trying to get the dog to go outside with her, and I was underneath a blanket, and the dog was snuggled up to me and looking at her like, I don't think so. I am warm. I am not going outside. But definitely a very enjoyable poem. Very well done.
Well said. Thank you, Pam. And Lee, what did you think?
I love his humor. You did such a great job in reading this poem, Frank. You know, a lot of places here, there are natural hot tubs, you know, and the rocks that you can go and sit in. And this is what it reminded me of. You know, and it says that it took him to get older to find out what was precious. Precious is making the memories with the person you love because you can take those memories with us. The gold, well, your family fights over it when you die, so memories, I'll take memories. Hot tub memories or natural rock soaking will do for me.
Well said. Thank you, Lee. And, well, what did you think? Oh, she dropped, all right. Frank, what do you think?
Well, I have to agree with what Lee said. You know, if I'm going to die, I would rather go down there in a jacuzzi or this nature here. You know, this poem really, you know, although it has its humor there, it does make you think about the wonders. Perhaps we don't, we take for granted. You know, we do get old, you know, and we do, you know, get to that stage of life where we don't have the comforts, we don't have the luxuries, or we're not able to do the things we did when we were young. But I like the fact that he has these memories, you know, the memories that he has here. And what he says there with you know, we romp in bed, cuddly and warm, as rose in mother's pouch. There is that sense of security there. But I like this poem because he really realized and accepts his own truth there, you know, his realization of aging. And, you know, it's a very, very good poem. I really like the notion that he brings this piece here. And a hot bath, yeah, Louis, a hot bath would be great too.
Absolutely.
With a glass of sangria, you can't beat that.
Oh, there we go. I'm with you there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I posted the next poem. It's by Hollow King. And I'll give this a read. If I can find it again, here we go. Oh, sorry, this is by The Crying Owl. The sinner's greatest, darkest sorrows. Am I hollow or hollow? My very existence is a double-edged sword. I wasn't born. I was made from broken dreams. Music plays in my head, a pathetic performance. The curtain's shut, and my anxiety hits me like a boxer. Each punch is a masterpiece. I am made from every heartbreak, although love is not needed in this world. Wherever there is light, there are also shadows. As long as the concept of winners exists, there must also be losers. The selfish desire of wanting to maintain peace causes war, and hatred is born to protect love. Am I pain or am I misery? Do I stay or shall I go? I've never lived an easy life, but I'm finally in a place where I'm loved, yet still feel trapped. Mm-hmm. Will I ever find a life where I'm actually truly happy with myself? My life shall always feel misery and will always go once again. Fantastic poem about, you know, the justification of being happy and all the pain of life. And our ability to get through that. But no, that was a fantastic write. Excellent write. What did you think, Pam?
I thought this was absolutely wonderful. And I would like to mention that it was a collaboration done between Crying Owl, Hollow King, and Lonely One. I just want to make sure that all three authors got a nod. And what I like about this collaboration is that it flows seamlessly. It would be really difficult to separate who wrote what part. There's a very consistent thought, a very consistent theme of that balance between light and darkness within all of us. And there's this almost this kind of spirituality in it, this sense of personal growth as we try to discover who we are, as we try to find that sense of peace within a world of chaos. So just an excellent write and very well done to all of them.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pam. And Louie, what did you think?
Well, I thought this was fantastically seamless. You know, they all did a fantastic job in this collaboration. It all flows into the thoughts of each other without the separation. You know, it's where you find yourself that, you know, life has not been easy for many of us. That's why we're poets. We write about it in, you know, also in lyrics when we write songs.
it says, but I, you know, even though they finally feel loved, there's because of all the brokenness, they're still unsure of their place there and of their place in themselves. And, you know, it is so hard to feel happy when you're stuck in this, you know, it's like being in a trap. You know, you want to be happy because you're loved, but then you feel so sad. Excellent poem.
Wonderful comment. Do you think?
Anxiety.
And Frank, yeah. Frank, what did you think?
Yes, I'm going to have to agree with what's been said here. To me, this poem really does reflect that uncertainty. You know, I think we all go through pain and misery, and pain and misery does not discriminate at all. You know, and I think what's so, you know, the beauty about this piece is these three collaborators seem to be young, if I'm not mistaken. And it is beautiful when you think about, you know, the generation of today, how much they really, you know, we can relate to them when it comes to emotions. You know, emotions are timeless. They don't have an age. And when you think about the emotions expressed on this piece here and the way it's expressed, it really makes you think that who could not relate to this piece here? We've all go through this type of anguish, uncertainty, and misery. And it's just exquisite writing. I really like the way these three writers, or poets, or poetesses, I'm not sure, combine their thoughts and emotions and made it very vivid.
Well said. Thank you, Frank. Okay, Pam, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
I would be happy to. This is Silver Rays Over the Lake by Samar Amin. It goes like this. You come at night like a migrant moon. You come at night like a bridegroom escorted by the angelic winged clouds, dispelling the ancient fears that lurk the corner of the street, dispelling the mist that dominates the desolated roads, wiping the trace of sadness that covers the faces of the old houses, consoling the weeping winds that wail in the empty squares, casting your silver rays over the white crest caps of the lake's crushing waves, and changing its rocks into gleaming jewels, riding your horse over the black clouds, and running your track over the expanse of the grassland plains, covering the grasslands of the vast steppes with your dreamy light and your glistening dew, shining over the tops of the stately mountains, illuminating their foreheads and increasing their majesty and awe, mitigating the loneliness of the lonely people, radiating new hopes at their windows and casting joy at their front doors, caressing the heads of orphaned children who spend the night in the open without a home, without shelter, and compassionately listen to their crying, offering a shoulder for the dejected widow who are fighting their way alone through the intricate excruciating roads for the sake of their children, showing a glimpse of light in the smoky sky of a wounded soldier who is unable to see anything except ruin, destruction, and death. And poem.
That was a beautiful read, Pam. And, you know, this is such so rich in imagery, and, you know, the alliteration is fantastic. I really thought it was a beautiful painting, word painting of the beautiful Luna herself. Wonderful job. What did you think, Lou?
You know, Pam, you did a great job in reading this, and he's new to me. I really enjoyed this poem, you know, because it really makes you think about the moonlight and what goes under the moonlight. You know, in darkness, we cannot see so many things that may be in front of us or things that we can possibly ignore. But when there is light, it illuminates the faces of the old house. It lets you see the homeless people and the children, and you know, for you know, some wishing for a new life, that their life will glitter differently under the starlight. And you know, and then he also talked about the soldiers, you know, the life they leave when they're guarding us day and night. And so it just made you look at so many things that we may not think of.
That was a great comment. Thank you, Lee. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, this poem, the poem is very much enriched with a tapestry of imagery. You know, I like that the title there, Several Rays Over the Lake. You know, this is just beautiful. It's like what I was saying before, you know, the elements of nature, you know. You know, when you have a moon, you know, so beautifully it's gleaming, I mean, it's glistening, and it's bringing you those moonbeams as well. You know, there's so much that can be, you know, can be invoked, you know. What's sad about it at times is that we don't realize that the little world that we live in, you know, we create all these things that he talks about at times, our own creations. You know, and the moon, like the stars, like the sun, are all testimonies and witnesses of what goes on in this earth here. And this poem just really made me think about that. It was a very powerful, it's a very exquisite write. It just was beautiful, a tapestry of imagery that really was imbued with a beauty of nature.
Well said, thank you. Thank you, Frank. Okay, Lou, you're next, please.
Okay. Let me hit refresh. Okay. The Laurel Moon by Eden Bray. The Laurel Moon. The Laurel Moon, independent, inspiring, and cold. As I write each day of aliens, flying machines, and captive maidens, its violin strains rest me, its violet stains color my night, only that we carry our dying memories to its light, there surrender caution, where nothing is really sinister except what stretches our understanding, absorbs the secrets we carry against beating hearts, the numbed, darkly visible in the half-light where I can hear voices, muted as though they are caught, struggling to find light, or hope, or sense, or reason. The August moon, its scent hangs in the dazzle, the aura, the frequency of our hope and transient longing. End poem.
Beautiful read, Lee. And, you know, that was a gorgeous poem as well, you know, filled with naturalistic imagery and chock-a-block with emotion as well. You know, where it says, I can hear voices muted as though they are caught, struggling to find light or hope or sense or reason. The August moon, its scent hangs in the dazzle, the aurora, frequency of our hope, and transient longing. Yeah, we all have that longing to, you know, lift ourselves up out of this world and carry ourselves into the heavens. So I thought that was just beautifully expressed. What did you think, Cam?
Oh, this is absolutely beautiful. I'm a big fan of Eden Bray's poetry. He's just really talented with imagery and emotion. I'm not sure what he meant by it, but the laurel moon, the laurel part makes me think of how a crown of laurel would be put on victors, heads during the Olympic Games in ancient Greece. And so it kind of has that feeling to me of a moon of victory, a moon of honor and celebration. I like how this talks about the beauty found within darkness. I really like where nothing is really sinister except what stretches our understanding, absorbs, seeks to carry against beating hearts. Really, the thing that is most dark is that the things that we don't understand, but if we try and we learn and we understand, they become far less sinister. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That was a great comment. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, I'm going to have to, I know I'm sounding like a cliche here, but I'm going to have to agree here. I like the poem, the personification of the poem here. It almost has like an esoteric feeling, you know, a mystical feeling, a mysticism here. You know, the moon inspires many of us to write, you know, and this poem here was really infused with, you know, the influence or the inspiration of the moon. And his imagery here in this poem, I agree with Pam, it's very much impeccable. I really did like this piece here. It just was remarkably well written.
Great comment. Thank you, Frank. Okay, Frank, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Yeah, I have to reload here for a second. Bear with me here. Just give me a quick second here. All right, this is a poem by Moon Soon Man. Is that the poet? Or Moon Soon Man?
Yeah.
All right. 384-400 kilometers away. And it goes like this. Glistening pink lips into a smile. Between lips as milk bread, the face shines. 384-400 kilometers from my reach. My voice reached the stars across the black canvas of the night sky. So that she might smile down on me too. End of poem.
That was a great read, Frank. And, you know, you can feel the longing in this poem. If only my voice reached the stars across the black canvas of the night sky so that she might smile down upon me too. Yeah, just beautiful. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this is definitely a beautiful and thoughtful brevity, and it did have that sense of longing that comes when, you know, somebody is that far away. There's so much distance that you have to have some sort of connection to look at, such as the night sky, and beautiful, right, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Louie, what did you think?
Yeah, I agree with everybody, you know, when you long for somebody, you look for them. And then you look for them no matter how far they are, whether it's on our telephones or on computer or long distance. This is very long distance. You know, it says that he hopes that he will hear how he feels about her way across the canvas of the sky, and with that black background, that velvet background and those pink lips, it just made a beautiful image. So it's beautiful imagery. And then I like where he says that her cheeks were as soft as milk bread, and you could just actually see that.
Great comment, Lou. Thank you. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, I think I did I not comment already on this
yes.
poem?
Yes, she did.
Oh, okay. Sorry. All right. Sorry about that.
I thought it was getting late for me there, Gray, too.
Okay, so I'm going to post the next poem here. And I'll give this a read. This is called The Moonlight Dances on Your Skin by Beatnik. The way the moonlight dances on your skin when we make love, makes me thank the stars and heavens above. The moon affects our passions when you're with me under a lunar glow. Without you, there the moon glows dark and cold, grows dark and cold. The lunar light seems to be shining down on just you and me when we are together in a lover's fantasy. On the ocean, moonbeams disperse like 1,000 lights, one for each of our ecstatic nights. Our nocturnal love under moonlit radiance is a love that makes my spirit dance. Over the moon is how far my affection grows. Only you show me the love I yearn to know. End poem. Well, that was a beautiful expression of love. You know, the lunar light seems to be shining down on just you and me when we're together in a lover's fantasy. You know, I mean, how much does the moon bring into the lover's, the life of a lover's world? It's just fascinating how much power the moon has to make everything magical and mystical. Wonderful, right? What did you think, Pam?
I really like this. It's absolutely beautiful, wonderful rhyming couplet. Such a romantic atmosphere within. I really especially like on the ocean moon beams dispersed like a thousand lights, one for each of our ecstatic nights. I like how those lines represent the idea of how many wonderful nights these people are going to spend together. Just an absolutely excellent light all the way through and very well done.
Great comment, thank you. And Lou, what did you think?
Well, this is just pure romanticism. With being in a long-term relationship, those thousands of lights, you know, that he says that each one is for our ecstatic nights. So who hasn't want to make love under the moon, whether it's on your car, whether it's on the grass, or whether it's on a beach, you know, to have those memories that stay with us forever, and you yearn to know if that person thinks of them as much as you do. Beautiful poem.
Great comment. Thank you, Lee. And Frank, what did you think?
No, I agree. I like this poem here, just a whole notion again once more of the elements of the moon, you know, the way it dances, the way, you know, it gives us emotions, passions. You know, it's not much of a lengthy poem, but it has a beauty to it, and I really did like the reference to the nocturnal love there. It's a great, great, right, great poem.
Well, thank you, Frank. Okay, so I've got Sapphire Rose's poem up next, and she has a single cloud.
You eclipse me by Sapphire Rose. Your luminescence eclipses the darkness within me. Your naughty stance tempts me. Your bigger-than-life presence commands my attention. The heady scent of fireball whiskey mixed with the earthly outdoors devours my resistance whole. Falling into your embrace, hands securely explore the canvas of each other's flesh. My darkness craves the penetration of your light. Lips tango across ivory skin. I arch into the sensational warmth of your verse tongue, lighting up every nerve on my body from the inside out, igniting an inferno in my belly. Eyes close as the next wave of desire consumes me completely. Your breath hot against my ear as you whisper sonnets that rival Shakespeare, our bodies undulating within the glow of euphoric ecstasy. I let out a breath and open my eyes as your magic wand puts me under carnality's spell, shattering my darkness within and filling me with the luminescence of infinite moon. End poem.
Well, that was a beautiful SoundCloud, a beautiful read, and a very touching poem filled with desire and passion, sensuality, and, you know, our bodies undulating within the glow of the euphoric ecstasy. I let out a breath and open my eyes as your magic wand puts me under carnality spell, shattering my darkness within and filling me with the luminescence of infinite moons. Just beautiful, descriptive, and engaging. Such a powerful, right? What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, wonderful imagery, just a beautiful and powerful central light. I really like lighting up every nerve of my body from the inside out, igniting an inferno in my belly. And then your breath hot against my ear as you whisper sonnets that rival Shakespeare. Just a wonderful tribute to the romance of poetry and that physical desire between two people. A wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Lou, what did you think?
I thought this was, I agree with Pam, this was beautifully read as it was written.
to me, I like the details. You know, how
the hunger is building towards this person where, you know, she talks about your naughty stance tempts me. When you look at the person's body, how they're standing and you're looking at them, and, you know, you're so attracted to that. And then you can smell the Fireball whiskey and the outdoors smell that is on their clothes. And it just is something that she even saw right here. It starts devouring her resistance and whole, you know, that love that she has and desire for him and embrace
beautifully. She wants to secretly explore each other's flesh. I thought this was gorgeous.
Great comment, Lou. Thank you. And Frank, what did you think?
Oh, I have to say this was a dripping passion of lunar seduction. This was just a fantastic piece here. I have to say the sound card was great as well. And I'm going to steal a line from one of two lines here, one from Pam, Muy Caliente, and the one from Lou, Erotic. It was a great piece.
Great comment, thank you. And so that's it for tonight's poetry. I don't want to squish another one into 3 minutes less space. So I'd like to say thank you very much, everybody, for calling in and sharing your hearts, your minds, your voices, most especially your time. Much love, poets.
Much love. Good night,
right,
everybody. Thank you.
Take care, everyone. Buenas noches. Take care, everyone.
Buenas noches. Besitos.
So grab a glass of sangria afterwards. Take care, my friends.
Yeah, good night, Frank.
Good night. Good night, Pam. Good night, Frank. Good night, Gray.
Take care. Take care, my friends.